First, let me say I'm really happy to be here. Getting nervous about those trips, you're certainly not the first one for that. But I've gone to a lot of churches about this.
And I'll just start off by saying a couple of things. We have been taking these trips for, I don't know, the ministry's been, I think, 30 years doing this. We don't do anything different than we've always. We've always prayed before we went over there. We've always prayed for safety. We always prayed for, I guess, mainly because the first time I drove a bus was down in Mexico, and then I knew from that point on that it was God and God only that kept you alive driving. Nothing to do with how good a driver you were, God kept you alive. And there is some serious things going on in Juarez, and for the past 3 years, this has been going on. And I'll say that we have continued through those 3 years taking our mission trips. We keep on doing them. We have, I can say, never come close to anything at all dangerous. I mean, never. As much as we hear, we've had meetings in places where people told me, well, this little place here, this is the worst in Juarez. And I thought, well, that's really said something. You know, where's Juarez? Juarez is supposed to be a real bad place. But we have never had a problem at all. God has always taken care of us. A very common testimony from people who go, especially the last 3 years, is when they get up, beginning of the week, everybody was nervous because every person they knew or relatives would be calling them, telling them don't go. And I've heard some pretty incredible stories of what people would tell people. But at the beginning of the week, they're a little nervous. But at the end of the week, the last thing on their mind was fear, because they saw God do these wonderful things this week. Those weeks, the past 3 years, we've had probably the greatest spiritual trips we've ever had. And I think it has something to do with the fact that anybody now who comes on a mission trip has a requirement we've never had before, and you have to have faith. We never had that before. And now, you think of this from the perspective of God, who has this group of people, all of them have faith. Nobody's there just to goof off and, you know, horse around. The good part is that, because all the goof offs, afraid to get killed, so they stay home. So just the people are spiritual. I mean, it has truly been a really blessing, and we've had wonderful trips. I'll tell you one incident, and I've told people this. The closest thing we've had to danger in the past 3 years. We were driving, and just to show you how God, he can take care of even that. But we were driving our bus coming away from a Mexican church where, as we're going down the road, the people in the center of the bus were explaining, told me this. I was in the front of the bus. But they looked at these two houses back up off the road, and between the houses there was this Mexican teenager, and for whatever reason, he picked up a rock about the size of a softball, and he drew back, and he slung that for all he was worth at the side of the bus. Now, the people who are sitting there, you know, you're thinking, he's not going to throw that, is he? And here it comes. And all they could, in fact, it came so fast, all they could do was just kind of turn their head and wait for the crash of the glass. Now, as I said a minute ago, even God could take care of that. What happened was, just before it hit the bus, we drove by the steel pole and pow, it hit the pole and dropped down. Didn't touch the bus. And like I said, that is the most dangerous. Now, we've had a lot of soldiers that have come around. We go, there's checkpoints sometimes that soldiers come on the bus and they walk around and they come because they want to make sure we're all right. I mean, we had one time some soldiers kept hanging around the park we're in. And we asked them, why are you doing this? They said, well, we just want to make sure everything's okay with you. We have, in the beginning of the weeks, and some of you have been on mission trips, and I still say this, when we have the beginning, when we're getting ready to have a mission trip, very beginning of the week orientation, if you've never been on a mission trip, you'll probably hear that again this year. I tell them, we will have a victorious week this week. God is going to get the victory, and Satan is going to get whipped. And I said, there's a reason I can say that, and with absolute surety it's going to happen. Because Satan is going to try to stop us. He always does. The technique he always uses is fear. And I said, we're going to go forward, even though we may look ahead and see what kind of a roadblock he seems to have put in the way. and we don't know how we're going to get over it. Whether it's a problem the border guards don't want us to go, or bus problems, or weather problems, or whatever. I said, no matter what it is, we're going to walk forward. Even though we see something ahead of us, we don't know how we're going to solve, but we're going to continue going toward it, because if the Lord's at your side, there is nothing that can stop you. Nothing, because He, the Lord, is going to go before us and clear the way. And every time, whenever we get up to that point, wherever, whatever it is, whatever obstacle is there, the Lord would clear it away, and there would be this great testimony because you walked forward even though you couldn't understand how God was going to solve the problem. And let me just make a side statement about this. This is not about, that doesn't happen just with mission trips. Anything you try to do for God, anything with this church, whether it be a building program, whatever it is, anything you want to do for God, Satan will put a Jordan River between you and it. And there isn't going to be, you can look for a lot of different ways to be crossed, but there's only one way. It's going to be right through that obstacle, right through the Jordan River, until you put your foot into the water, to the soles of your feet hit it, that's when God's going to solve the problem. You have to take the step of faith. Now, the mission trips, some of you are familiar, I'll just go quickly through that in the way this works. You come in on a Saturday night, we'll go up in a mountain, we're going to look out over, this is in the U.S., over El Paso and Juarez, you'll see it out in the background there, and we're going to pray, because prayer is the way we solve problems, we always do, God always comes through, always. It's just the way it is. I mean, when you depend, we have to depend on God. There isn't any other thing we have to depend on. We're going into another country. We don't have any rights there or anything like that. We have to depend on God going before us. We pray that He goes before us. He does go before us. He clears the way, prepares the hearts of people we're going to be showing this message to, and He gets the glory for everything that happens there. Because we pray, we make it clear that He is the one who's going to solve our problems. You got to really understand that, because He does. And He likes to do that with people who are willing to do His work no matter what it looks like. And Satan, as I said before, fear is his way. It's always been that way. And I want to just say this in regard to doing something. If you make decisions based on fear, and I'm not necessarily talking about the mission trip here, about anything based on fear and not on God, you will go down the road Satan wants you on. And you will become useless rather than useful for God. You can't make decisions based on fear. You need to trust in the Lord. Well, the stuff that's been going on, I was in San Antonio, and I preached there in San Antonio, and it was a Wednesday night. We had a prayer time afterwards. Everybody divided up and got a partner and prayed. I came to the altar, and the guy next to me said, you know, when you're preaching, you talked about these newscasters and how they kind of embellish on what actually the truth is. He says, I'm one of them. He says, I'm an anchor for the Channel 4 News. And I said, oh, well, he says, no. He says, that's all right. He said, the news, they don't tell you the news. They sell you the news. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. You got a choice of channels. And you're sitting there with that remote. You're just thinking, hey, it's been summer. It's saying, boom, and it's gone. And he says, they all do that. They try to make it as good as they can without flat out lying to you so that you'll watch their station, because they have to sell you, because they're trying to keep their job and they want to sell products on the station. It's the way that works. So the news is gonna and I can testify to that. I know that one time, whereas they had this was a while back when more people were getting killed. They had a bunch of, they were naming how many got killed every day. And only one guy got killed this day. And, you know, two guys got in a fight, two drug guys, and one of them killed the other one. So they didn't say one guy got killed. The news was, violence in Juarez escalates. Because it sounded better. And like I said, in the way these trips, and when we take trips, that's what Saturday night we go and we pray. Sunday morning we'll go to the church in El Paso. And then Sunday night, we'll go to the church in Juarez that we're going to be working with that week. Usually a different one every week. And then on Monday during the morning, we'll have we'll work in a print shop putting together the John Aromas that we will be handing out that week. Monday and Tuesday, we do that in the mornings. In the afternoons, we leave, we're going to Juarez, go to the church we're going to be working with, and from the church, they'll take us to the park or whatever that's in proximity of the church, because they're going to be the ones that are going to follow up on the people that get saved. And so that night there'll be a meeting. On Wednesday, we'll be leaving at 9 o'clock in the morning right after breakfast. We'll have two meetings that day, one at noon and one in the evening. And then Thursday, we'll have a testimony meeting in the morning. And Thursday afternoon, we actually go to the market on Wednesday in between the two meetings there. And then Thursday, we'll have a meeting in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we'll go to the border, actually on the U.S. side, where people are just swarming over the border. But we'll stay on the U.S. side, and we'll be passing out several thousand John and Romans and tracts then. All right. Now, I can tell you that for all the trouble you hear about this past, we had a mission trip January this year. And we normally don't do that. That's but somebody wanted to go. In fact, it's a college in Texas. They have, I think they had about 31 students. They went. It's going to be a regular thing. In fact, it's in their curriculum. They have to pay the money to come to El Paso is part of their tuition. So they don't have a choice about going. But they went this past January. They were really excited about going. Now, let me just say, if those of you who have been on mission trips, you see how open the Mexican people are to the Word of God. They love to hear about it. And I want to tell you, the trouble that's been there, they're even more open to it. Because if you have any friends or relatives that kind of think, I'm only 50, and book sale, live till I'm 70, so I got 20 more years to worry about. It's crazy. They think they can live. And whereas they hear about death all the time. So mortality is a big thing to them. They want to know. Soldiers want to know. People want to know. In January, we went on the trip, and this group was so on fire, we had over 1,200 people got saved that week. I think that had to be some sort of a record, if anybody keeping record about the stuff like that. But it was really exciting. The people are open. The Mexican people like Americans. I can tell you that the problems going on are between the drug cartels. They do not target Americans. They're not looking for Americans. They're not trying to... I know you hear a lot of things about kidnapping and stuff like that. For one thing, you're going to have a big group of 40 or 50 people. They're not going to go in and pick somebody out of the middle of you, and run off with you. It just... There is police, federal police and the military around there all the time. And where we go, we don't. Once we get to the end of our meeting, our meetings basically have to go right till the point it gets dark, because we have a chalk drawing. It has a black light, and it's got to be dark enough to see the black light. So we time it so as soon as it gets dark, we get everything working. We start the chalk drawing before dark, before dusk. And then as soon as it gets dark, we work it out so we can finish that. And once we're done, because that's the end of it, then we wrap everything up and go. We don't hang around, the park and talk and eat and all that after dark. We have enough, we just, not that we've ever had a problem, but, darkness seems to be when the problems kind of thing happen. We're very careful to just go as quickly as we can. Now, anybody have some questions? Or if there's anything specific you want to know about the trips? I know you got questions. Yes? This summer will be 7. Well, actually, 8. We're going to have here's another thing. We're going to have a special trip at the end of this month. I don't know if some of you might have heard of this. It kind of evolved, started last year, started thinking about doing this, but on May 23rd to 29th, here's something to pray about too, by the way, let me just say this. The problems in Juarez, sticking more armies, more guns, bullets, whatever, that isn't going to solve the problem. What's going to solve the problem is God. We all know that. So what we're going to do, we're preparing this special week, May 23rd, 29th, where 100 men are going to take 500,000 Bibles to Juarez and blanket the city with God's Word. We're going to divide up in 5 days, and we're going to take divide Juarez into 5 sections and go to every section and blanket as many as we can. We have about 100, at least 100 people on the Mexican side that are going to be working with us. It's just going to be, we're calling it the Juarez Project. We're just going to try to take and just blanket the city. And that's going to happen the end of this month. Yes, sir. There are people there speak English. All the meetings and everything are going to be in Spanish. But there you can find people there that speak English. I always thought it was interesting. A lot of American teenagers would pray that they could find someone in Mexico who spoke English so they could win them to Christ. And it's kind of like, well, you got a whole country right here that speaks English. Try them. But somehow it's, you know, they like to find someone there who speaks English. But there's not a lot, you know, the areas we work with, there's a lot of people coming from little towns all around. They still come into Juarez. People are still coming, not into Juarez proper, not the city, but around the outskirts of Monterrey. That's where most of the 2 million people there live. The downtown area, there's not a lot of businesses even open in downtown Juarez. The market and places like that are, but a lot of them aren't, just because the cartels. And by the way, let me just say, the cartels, there were originally 5 cartels there. Now there's only down to 2. 3 of them have been almost decimated from everybody killing each other there. You know, they shoot off all their leaders. And so now it's down to 2. The American or the government is winning the war on drugs. Whether or not Juarez, it does have a shortage of drugs in the streets of Juarez. People are over crowding their halfway houses, thousands of people trying to break their drug habits because they can't get drugs. So they are making a difference. You don't hear all that kind of stuff, but God is working there. We've had churches. I know one little church was across the street from a drug house, and they would threaten the church, say, you know, don't try to keep people from coming in here. Well, they ended up winning everybody in that drug house to Christ. And one of the worst guys, he's now in his 3rd year of Bible school to be a preacher. God can. And I'll tell you one little story. This happened last year. A Mexican fellow, he was in about 23, 24 or something. He had a little hamburger stand. He made hamburgers. He was trying to make money. And this guy come walking up to his hamburger stand, kind of a big guy, pretty well-dressed, and said, what are you doing? Kind of a gruff. He said, well, I'm making hamburgers. He said, oh, well, make me one. And so he started making hamburgers. Well, he did with this guy what he always did with everybody else. He had a big bunch of Chick Tracks, different kinds, and he just reached in and pulled out one here. Read this while I'm doing this. Because he went to one of the Baptist churches there. And this guy started reading this thing. He's making a hamburger, and the guy says to him, is what this says true? And the guy said, Mexican guy said, well, and he says, no, wait a minute. The guy said, I want to tell you something. If I don't like your answer, I'm going to kill you. He opened his coat and he had a big 45 hanging on it. And the guy said, before he could say again, he cut in him again. He says, now listen, I'm telling you, I have killed 3 people already. And I have 4 more on my list for tonight. And the track, by the way, that he got was a little one. If you've seen all those Chick Tracks, it's the one called The Assassin. When he was reading. This Mexican guy is standing there, and he said, it's like the Holy Spirit really came into him. And he looked at this guy, and he says, are you done? And the guy cut in on him twice, you know, and he goes, well, yeah. And he says, yes, everything in that book is true. In fact, you can get to, you can get to heaven. And then he walked out from behind there, put his arm around this big guy, and said, you know, the Father you've always wanted, he's there, and he loves you. This guy burst into tears. And he got saved. Now, I mean, there's some frontline work, huh? Man, right on the... God is good. So I know that we're going to have a spectacular summer. We have had less people come because they've been afraid. And I understand, you know, people get afraid about that. But God has blessed it and blessed it and blessed it. I'm just telling you, if you... we're planning on coming, and you don't come. When the people come back with their testimonies, you're going to wish you did. I'm not saying this to try to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you, I've heard this over and over and over. But God is going to, we have an exciting summer. Like I said, there's about 250, 260 people, something like that, are coming over these trips. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Yes, sir. Let's see, when is that? Actually, June is the hottest month. They're usually the ones that usually stay at 100. But, you know, when you start to get into July, then you might have the storms come, so you could pray about those, you know. That's always, like I do that. And I won't tell you what else comes in July, but that's storms. There'll be enough for you to... I'll tell you after you get there, and I'll tell you what the rest of it is. But it'll be, it'll be exciting. Somebody back here have a question? You keep in mind that those of you who have not been there, we have air conditioning on our buses once we go 60 miles an hour in the open windows. So, you got to keep in mind, you know, and people, and actually the heat doesn't bother me. I mean, it gets up to 90s or 95, but it's a dry heat. And someone told me, yeah, you stick your head in the oven, that's a dry heat too, but it's still hot, you know. I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, people complain about it so much. You know, oh, it's just hot. It's like, you know, the people we're reaching, they don't come to our nice churches. That's why we got to go there. And you only have to be there for about, you know, 8 hours or whatever in a day, and you get to come back and have a good night's rest. And if you've not been there, by the way, and if you've not been outside the country, you're going to appreciate our country more and go there, come back, the way people live. Anything else? Yes. On the border? Let me just say, Americans are not targeted. Now, if you're an American and you go over there looking for drugs, you're going to get yourself in trouble. They had an American missionary, I don't know if you heard about that a while back, a guy's wife was killed, and the problem was he was driving one of those $60,000 diesel trucks that they really like over there, and he came up to a checkpoint. They set up a fake checkpoint, and he wanted the truck, and once he slowed down and looked around, he realized these weren't regular military. They all had military weapons, you know. That would have been a reason for me to just stop, but he tried to run it, and they riddled his truck with bullets, and he got back to the U.S., but his wife got shot, and she ended up dying. But they're not looking for Americans, and I promise you we won't have any $60,000 trucks you'll be in. But we'll, and they usually don't. And let me say, you know, people before you would worry about gang members coming. I mean, that was the thing they worried about. Well, what if gangs come, you know? And most of the bad guys... Bible just isn't cool, you know. That's, they don't hang around that, and so we haven't had problems like that. We've been to areas that people have told us. In fact, last year we were in an area they said this. I think I mentioned was one of the worst in Juarez, and it was they had. They say they had all the atheists, the demon worshippers, and all these people would go to this one area, and the church said really had a hard time getting, you know. Doors, now there you get doors slammed in your face, but they did. But when we had a meeting there, we had one of our best. We had over 250 people in that place got saved. I'm telling you, God's word, you can't deny that. It doesn't return void. Even it doesn't make a difference how dark the place is or how tough somebody thinks they what they know about the evil parts of the world. Once they hear the truth, it's something you can't deny. Yes. Yes. Let me just tell you, we had a meeting one time, and the preacher knew this one gang that was nearby, and basically because he had gone to school with them, and so they would just mock him because, you know, hey, you're not. But three of those guys from that gang came to the meeting, and that was these three guys. Stayed way in the back, and they started preaching. When you get to the chalk drawings, when you're preaching, and as they were making jokes through the first part of the meeting, and you know, goofing off, And it was funny, all the Americans were kind of surrounded all the women, you know. They made like a little fort in the middle there, kind of keeping, protecting them, I guess. Anyway, these three guys, they were back there goofing around. But then when the preaching started, they stopped goofing around because this guy was saying stuff I hadn't heard before. And they slowly started moving forward during this whole meeting. By the end of the meeting, they were standing about 2 feet in front of the preacher, and the chalk drawings right behind him. They're looking at this chalk drawing. They're looking because he was saying, you know, that did he say this was there was a free gift that anybody? And when he told them that God, there is no sin that God wouldn't forgive, and these three guys just dropped, did a body drop right straight down to the ground, put their face in the dirt, started wailing and crying and saying, God, thank you, God, thank you. Because the priest had told them that they were going to hell, there was nothing that was going to change that, so they might as well just live for the day, because that's it for them. And they wept, and I'd never heard it sound anybody get saved like that. Man, they were wailing and weeping, and they were just excited. I mean, that was an exciting thing. And somebody like that, somebody, maybe you know from the prison, I have a brother who's in the prisons, he said, people, you know, there for, you know, 90 days or 60 days, they don't think there's anything wrong with them. They're okay. But the ones that are lifetime guys, they know they're sinners. You don't have to tell them, go through the Ten Commandments, convince them. Society's already told them they're a sinner. That's why they're there, and they know it. And they'll listen more than those that, you know, that are kind of short time type people. Anything else? You'll get fed well if you don't believe that. Just ask some of those people who've been here before. We take you back and forth. We give you beds to sleep in. We have 9 motel type rooms. If you know, some people, older adults too, don't especially like to spend the time in the dorms when all the kids want to make a racket and stay up all night. Adults understand how important it is to sleep, so we'll do that. The only thing about the dorms, we have to have at least one responsible adult in there to kind of keep an eye on them. You have the same people in the dorms. The responsible adult part, you know, you got to find them. Food? All the food that you eat. Now, we eat meals in Mexico, but everything, the water and everything, we always take with us. So you don't have to worry about water or anything. We have, I think, one basically Mexican meal, but most of it is American food. And, you know, big breakfasts every morning, and lunch is Salisbury steak and turkey and ice cream sundaes and root beer floats and brownies. And we do have a lot. I mean, you will take some El Paso back with you. We will feed you well. If you don't eat, it's because you're not eating. You know, there'd be plenty of things to eat. Anything else? Glad to do it, brother.
Look forward to it.
Amen.
All right. We're dismissed, folks. If you have anything private you want to talk to them about, I'm sure you'll hang around for another minute or two.
Sure.
Thank you, guys.